Good morning. And welcome the service this morning to the services of the Lord's house, where we are gathered together to receive God's word, be assured of eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins, and to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done."
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 7th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Bill Breen, Rachel Welker, and Joshua Hillman. The opening hymn is number 464, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done." Hymn number 464 found in the Lutheran service book. John and Megan Klim are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of their 18th wedding anniversary. Dr. Stephen and Jennifer Perry are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of their 30th wedding anniversary on June 1st.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered together to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word.
Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word.
You are good to do good. Teach me your statutes.
The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts.
Their hearts are unfeeling like that, but I delight in your law.
It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes.
The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, you sent your Son Jesus Christ to seek and to save the lost. Graciously open our ears and our hearts to hear his call and to follow him by faith, that we may feast with him forever in his kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Hosea, the 5th chapter and the 6th. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to holy baptism, how can water do such great things?
Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing, a rebirth, and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously, for Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. But the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, in hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he has been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead our Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our common Christian faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, a very God, begotten, not made, being in one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 856, O Christ Who Called the Twelve, hymn number 856, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
the sermon text this morning from our Old Testament reading. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. Thus far the words of our text. I think we have this morning before us one of the dilemmas of the Christian faith. Something like this. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the first answer to that question is, first of all, we're not that good. Okay, so we all know that. We all know the quote-unquote book answer. And I'm sure that most people do not think that they're perfect. But they also want to say, I'm not that bad. So a sermon on a Sunday morning is a great place to reinforce the spiritual declaration of original sin and of the depravity of human beings. There is a reason why we say in our confession, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. I. Lord, I'm talking about me here. Why do we confess in such a personal way? We confess in such a personal way because it's true. Deep down where it counts, even our best thoughts and our best actions are stained and tainted by sin. Remember the account of the rich young man from Luke chapter 10? He hustles up to Jesus. He kneels before Jesus. And he asks Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus pauses and he looks at him and he says, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. No one is good but God alone. We find the prophet Hosea telling the people of Judah and the people of Israel that God is going to punish their nations. Why? Because the people had engaged in idol worship. And having turned their backs on God, they turned to foreign kings for protection. Hosea reminds us that the simple neglect of what is wholesome and blessed leads to wholehearted sin and self-destruction. It's an important line, I think. He reminds us that simple neglect of what is wholesome and good leads to wholehearted sin and self-destruction. And when a nation turns its back on God, not its wealth, not its armies, not anything can be able to deliver that nation out of the hand of its punishment, because only the Lord redeems and restores. We find Hosea saying earlier in his book, there is no faithfulness, there's no steadfast love, there's no knowledge of God in the land. He goes on to say, there is swearing, there is lying, there is murder, there is stealing, committing adultery. They break all the boundaries, and bloodshed follows. Therefore the land mourns, and all who live in it languish. It sounds like an indictment upon our own nation in our own days and our own times. And I was driving in here yesterday, and I was thinking about, the sermon. And I thought, for so many people, Christian people and regular folks too, but mostly Christian people I was thinking about, for so many, God, church, prayer. And that's what we do when we got nothing better to do. If we don't have somewhere else to go on a Sunday morning, we don't have to go to some family reunion or to some event or something we have purchased a ticket for. And if we got nothing else to do, I guess we'll go to church this week. And then I was thinking too, because what I'm thinking about is, we read this in the Bible, and it just, I think often that it must be something that is, it's super big and super obvious, and I think, a nation slips away from the Lord just a little minute space at a time. Until one day you wake up and you're way over here instead of way over there, back with the Lord. And I was thinking, the corn is growing. And it's hot. It's really hot. And I was like, thank God we got drought-resistant corn. Thank God for that. And then shortly after I thought that, I'm like, huh. Am I thanking God for that, or I'm just happy we got drought-resistant corn? Which one is it? I think about these things. Have we slipped from God millimeter by millimeter, inch by inch, just a little bit at a time, to the point where I ought to be thanking God for the gift He gives us of being able to produce seed that is drought resistant, seed that will grow a better yield. Thank God for those things instead of just being thankful we have them. I don't know. I don't know if anybody else thinks like that. I don't know if anybody else ponders these things or wonders about them. But, things I wonder about. And the prophet, the Lord goes on to say, He says, my people inquire of a piece of wood. And their walking staff gives them oracles. They sacrifice on the tops of mountains. They burn offerings in the hills. People chase false gods and false temples. And people today have different false gods and they have different false temples. Still, we slowly and softly turn away. Speaking of false temples and false gods, again, I don't know. It's easy to stand up here and take pot shots at things. Okay? It's easy to pick low-hanging fruit. But it's summer, right? And I'm standing at the top of the stairs up here in the Walther Hall and the connecting part over there. And, it's that time of year again when you are coming into church and you are competing for parking spaces with people walking over to a ball game. Now, I don't know if those folks have gone to Saturday night church. I don't know if they're going to have an 8 o'clock game and go to 10:30 church. I don't know. I hope they are. But perhaps not. And maybe that's evidence of a culture that is slowly slipping away from the Lord. For their idol worship, God declares, I will pour my wrath upon them in proportion to the greatness of their offense. The Lord will tear them as a lion and then remove himself from them until they acknowledge their offense and seek his face. Here's a truth that is found in Scripture. Namely, that men seek the Lord when they're in trouble, and they pour out their prayers when punishment's on them. The prophet cries out, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us by the punishments for sin which he has sent. Our propers for the day, propers that is our psalm and our hymns and our readings, breathe this out. Consider the psalm of the day. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. God declares through Hosea, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and they seek my face, and in their distress they earnestly seek me. I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by my word. Now, let's understand this also. There is a difference between what Hosea has recorded for us and our afflictions. And I want to think about this too this morning. What Hosea writes is Holy Scripture. We know that the people were being afflicted by God because we have the words of the prophet saying what God has said. I'm returning to my place. I'm going back to heaven, and I'm going to turn my back on them until they get their bad self straightened out. In our lives, in your life, you generally rarely, if ever, have a word from the Lord that tells you why you're suffering the way you're suffering. You generally don't know why you're going through the problems and the pain that you go through in life. We simply can't come to someone who has a child born with an ailment and look and go, see, what did you do? What did you do? Why are you being punished? We cannot look at a car wreck and declare that God's punishing that person. Neither can we look upon wars thrust upon our nation and automatically figure out that our nation is being punished. There may be a host of reasons that God would allow trial and tribulation to enter our lives. We live in a broken world and tragedies do happen. Bad things do happen for no apparent reason. God might be using such events to test our faith or to strengthen our faith. We might be put in a certain position of stress or trial to show unbelievers or those who are weak in the faith how people whose faith is in God react to different situations. Yes, indeed, there might be punishments. Then again, sin often has its own rewards. As a Christian people, we look at our lives and we seek to understand, how is it in my life, how is it that God is seeking to draw me closer to Him? How is God seeking to pull me closer to Himself? We also understand that we are a Christian people. And as such, as a Christian people, we know that God has already paid the price for our sin. We sang as such in our opening hymn. The strife is o'er, the battle done. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ their legions hath dispersed. He broke the age-bound chains of hell, the bars from heaven's high portal fell. Lord, by the stripes which wounded thee, from death's dread sting, set thy servants free. We are proclaiming in that very hymn that Jesus died in our place. He was afflicted for us in our place. He bore the stripes and the wounds that, yes, indeed, our sins deserve. We see the mercy of God then in the absolution. We see the mercy of God in holy baptism, where we proclaim that our God declared you to be your child, his child. It is here at the font that you are gathered into the one holy Christian and apostolic church, in which you are daily and richly forgiven of all your sins. And we pray that God would grant us new life through his Spirit. Your sins are forgiven. What great news that is for you and for all people. It's good news for us. It's why we sing in the Gloria in Excelsis, to God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. And even in our text for today, there's the foreshadowing of Jesus, where the prophet says, after 2 days he will revive us. And on the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. So we know that through Jesus Christ, when we face trials, when we face tribulations, and we face hardships in life, what are they meant to do? They're meant to exercise our faith. God would strengthen us so that we're able to face persecution, so that we are able to face the assaults of the devil. Owing to the weakness of our old Adam, we're always susceptible to backsliding and to falling away from the faith. We are apt to stray, so we thank God that he arranges things so that we are continually called through the events of our life back to him. And we're called to a focus on what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. What has Jesus done? He has paid the price for sin. He has won salvation for us through his life, his death, and his resurrection, bestowing upon us eternal life. So that in him we rejoice and we go forth and we tell the good news of Jesus, that we are declared righteous in God's sight for what Jesus has done for us. I started this by saying none of us are good. Let's end it though. If you are in Christ, you are forgiven in Jesus. His righteousness covers you. And God looks at you as a forgiven sinner. And God looks at you as a one who trusts in Jesus. One who's washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, for those who die in Christ, you will be declared good. In Christ, you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you strike down and you heal. And though we justly deserve your wrath for our sin, revive us and raise us so that we may live before you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious God, your Son called Matthew from his tax booth to be an apostle who proclaimed salvation to the world. Continue to call men to your holy ministry. Endow them with every good gift to proclaim your word and administer your sacraments in righteousness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, by your grace, Abraham did not weaken in faith, but trusted your promises. Strengthen parents to persist in their callings and train their children in your word and your ways. Defend them from discouragement and apathy and convince them that you are able to do what you have promised. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Creator and sustainer of all things, we come before you once again imploring you for the seasonable weather to the benefit of our crops. Gentle rain in due measure, moderate wind and sunny skies, yet with tempered heat. And yes, O Lord, we do ask for everything. But as Jesus calmed the storm and the sea, we know that you are indeed receptive to our prayers, and you will give us what we need in due measure. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, you are the great physician of both body and soul. Look with compassion on those who are suffering from illness, especially Nancy Olander as she has returned home from the hospital, Teresa Ricard, who will hopefully return home from her hospitalization soon. Give them strength according to your will. We also pray for Jonathan Meyer and his wife, as his wife is scheduled to soon have a C-section to deliver their child. Grant, O Lord, that the delivery go well and that mother and child remain safe and healthy. In the midst of these difficulties, O Lord, keep those we pray for firm in their faith and trust that they may never doubt your presence and love for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Righteous God, since your Son was handed over for our trespasses and raised again for our justification, grant the forgiveness of our sins to all who receive the Lord's Supper this day. Lead us to hold firmly to your promises that the presence of Christ's crucified, risen body may nourish and strengthen us in our faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Holy God, you desire mercy and not sacrifice. Preserve us from doing good only out of a grudging obligation. Grant us joyful hearts that serve our neighbor in love and in thankfulness for the good that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at our website, www.zlclinc.org, where you will find the links to our internet stream, YouTube, and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise as we continue our service with the service of the sacrament found on page 9. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that he might not die eternally. Because he has now risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Argentisti.
Thank you.
Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. The closing hymn is number 976, Give Me Jesus. Hymn number 976, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
be seated.
A brief announcement for youth group today. Next Sunday is bowling, so today the permission slips are due in, and the $10 is due in to Mrs. Meyer this morning or to Sam Opperman, one of those two. And that's for junior high, senior high bowling next Sunday, next week. Also, just a note, pretty interesting. The Perrys this week are celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary. And Terry and Danita today, 40 years. And John and Megan today, 18 years. So how about that? That's pretty nice. So when you see them, you know, wish them many blessings.
If you haven't been here in the past two Sundays, the directories are in. If you have not received your directory, please see me after.
Thank you, Lori. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.